I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. The timing couldn't be more perfect. President-elect Donald Trump tweeted last week that the U.S. must greatly strengthen its nuclear arsenal until such time as the world comes to its senses regarding nukes. At the same time, Russian President Vladimir Putin thinks Russia should fortify its nuclear potential. And today is the day that the Supreme Soviet, 25 years ago, voted itself and the Soviet Union out of existence, bringing the Cold War effectively to an end, along with, we thought, the need for mutually assured nuclear destruction. Yes, timing is everything. A quarter century today, the red Soviet flag came down over the Kremlin and was replaced by the white, red, and blue tricolor of Russia. Reporter Charles Maines is in Moscow. How was the anniversary marked today, Charles?
It was met with absolute silence, nothing at all. I would say that the Western press is probably the only one reporting and paying attention to this. There were no celebrations, no markings. We had a few, of course, websites just in the more liberal intelligentsia press among Russia dedicating some attention to this. And, you know, just to give you a sense, like, I mean, I spoke with some Russian, a Russian friend of mine, Max Kudovashev. He was 17 at the time. And I was thinking, you know, okay, this is some transformative moment for just personal friends of mine in a good or bad way. And it was clear from his answer that the Soviet Union was just absolutely done. This wasn't important at all.
Frankly speaking, I have no memory of December of I didn't register that particular part, that thing was actually happening. I didn't feel that bump. For me, it didn't feel like something out of the ordinary was happening.
Charles, don't some Russians recall 25 years ago as a moment of kind of liberation?
Well, yeah, of course, for some it was. And I think this goes to this debate that to a certain degree is still ongoing here about the history of the 90s and what exactly happened. I mean, there's certainly not one story to tell. We see among various elements of Russian society these very different attitudes towards what's happened since. You know, for some, the 90s was this time of great democratic freedoms. There was free press. There was opportunities for business, just personal growth. For others, it was this time of chaotic gangster capitalism, a time of total national decline. And, you know, well, which one was it? Well, it was probably both, you know. And to go back to my friend Max, who I spoke with today, you know, he remembers this as this kind of remarkable time of just incredible innovative ideas and energy.
For the first time, people had to make their own decision. So nobody was making decision for them. And those who understood what was going on, truly what was going on, they said it was the best time because you had nothing. And all of a sudden, like the whole world was right in front of you for just, you know, basically like with a snap of somebody's fingers, boom, and you're just there. It's just unbelievable. And those who caught that, those who understood these opportunities, you know, they went for it. And good for them.
How have Russians' feelings about Russia evolved? I mean, for a long time, hundreds of years, Moscow had been the center of a powerful expanding state. And then 25 years ago, its biggest retreat in centuries. So how do Russians feel about that then and now?
You know, for me, this is the big storyline for the past 25 years. It's humiliation. And if you believe Vladimir Putin, then it's a tale of Russia, as they like to say, rising from its knees. You know, some will say, and certainly I have friends who do say that 70 years of communism are what bankrupted the Russian state in the 1980s and 1990s. But Putin has been really effective at taking this sort of story that that Russia was taken advantage of by the West in the early 90s, that the West's programs that were designed to reform the Russian economy, in fact, bankrupted Russians and humiliated Russia, that they were ignored in the international arena. And restoring that balance has really been, you know, the kind of the arc, the animating arc behind the Putin phenomenon. So it's a doctrine that he's repeated many, many times in sometimes more barbed words, sometimes more friendly words. And, you know, just to give a sense of that, I just want to play you a clip that's from a recent interview I did with Maria Lippmann. She's the editor of Counterpoint Journal, which is a Russian journal, but also in conjunction with George Washington University in the U.S. And she's here in Moscow, and she just had this to say about Putin's appeal.
And of course, there was a sense of humiliation. And I think this is one of the secrets of his popularity. He genuinely shares the sentiment of humiliation. And this is important to remember. It was his personal humiliation as well as the humiliation suffered by his fellow countrymen. So he knows how people feel. He knows how to play on these sentiments.
So that was political analyst Maria Lippmann there. Charles Maines, I mean, Vladimir Putin isn't just about strong leadership, though. He is a quintessential strong man. And I'm wondering how Russians feel about that, especially a strong man who seems to measure a certain amount of strength by the amount of nuclear capability Russia has.
Well, it's interesting. You look at what Putin has pulled off in recent years, and it's essentially using foreign policy to distract from limited achievements at home. Russia has a lot of economic problems right now. They're not catastrophic, and I think there's a certain sense that perhaps under a Trump administration, for example, sanctions may go away, maybe. I think there's also some hope that they've found more common ground with some of the OPEC oil producers to stabilize the price of oil. But I think if you look at what's behind, you know, supporters of Putin, they see under his leadership this kind of great awakening, this idea that we mentioned earlier of Russia rising from its knees. And whether it's in Syria or reasserting Russia as a power broker in the Middle East, as we've seen recently, or in defying sanctions and saying Crimea is ours and there's nothing you can do about it, or poking a stick at NATO in Eastern Europe, or even, you know, seemingly getting some respect from Donald Trump after feeling that they were very much neglected by Barack Obama. You know, I think this really drives some of the pride that people have in the Russian president. And let's just listen to one interview I did recently. This is with Anna Pogrebnikova. She's a school teacher in Moscow, and she's about 26, as I recall.
I think somehow, anyway, we're getting to a better position in the world. Maybe Putin just gained power and a lot of countries just afraid of him. So it gives me the feeling that if they still feeling our power, other countries, so we're still powerful and we've got a leader who can explain and lead our country. So I'm happy that we have strong president.
So the point of view there of a 20-something English teacher in Moscow. So, you know, many say that the Soviet Union had inherent structural weaknesses that destroyed it. Is there a sense there that Putin's Russia may be more sustainable in the long run?
I do think there is one problem that they face, which is that, you know, they've built the whole system around one person. And, you know, just to give an example, it was last year that Putin disappeared for 10 days, and there are all sorts of explanations what happened. Maybe it was plastic surgery, maybe it was an illness, maybe something else happened. But from this period, you just saw this complete meltdown of the system because it's all built around him. And when he's gone, and it will happen one day sooner or later, there's no telling what will happen.
Charles Maines speaking with us from Moscow. Thanks as always, Charles.
Thank you.